Teaching ELL students is a privilege and a joy. Is it easy? No way. But with the right support, you can feel empowered to tackle each day with ease and confidence. I'm your host, Beth Boucher, founder of Inspiring Young Learners. With over 10 years of teaching both nationally and internationally, I know what it takes to ensure that your ELL students have what they need to thrive today, tomorrow, and for life. I'm on a mission to empower you to equip your English language learners. Welcome to Equipping ELLs. Let's get to today's episode. Welcome to another episode of the Equipping ELLs podcast. Today, we're talking about a hot topic that affects nearly every educator, professional development, or PD, as we often call it. Now, you might think PD is just another box to check in the busy educational landscape, but recent feedback from our listeners suggests that there's much more to discuss, and there's a lot of areas that you want to grow, but you're just frustrated with how it's happening in your school. And so today, I want to highlight six ways schools can make PD so much better, so much more effective, so much more impactful. That's what we want to talk about today, because we know that when you have the skills, when you have the knowledge, when you have the plan, and you have the passion for teaching and working with your English language learners, you are going to succeed, and in return, your students are going to succeed. So PD is really, really necessary. It's important, but there's a lot of things that can be done in some better ways. So before we dive into those six ways, I want to just step back a second and give you some of the statistics and numbers that we have found around PD and training. We just sent out a recent survey to our listeners, to our members inside Equipping ELLs, and from that survey, 84% of our teachers, 84% said that PD to them that was provided by their school was not helpful, it was not applicable, and it was not practical. 84%. Maybe you've seen the same thing happening in your school. We also have seen different studies that show that even though the ELL student population is increasing each year and pretty rapidly, we've seen studies that show that from the school year 2018 to 2019 compared to 2019 to 2020 school year, the amount of certified ELL teachers has decreased by 10%. That's a red flag. We need to make sure that number is increasing, not decreasing. Another study showed that in California, which is the state with the highest population of ELLs, the majority of teachers are only receiving one training specifically about ELLs once every 5 years. Another report I came across from the National Council on Teacher Quality shows that only 24% of programs, so your higher ed programs, train general elementary teacher candidates in strategies to support ELLs or on strategies to support students who are not making progress in early reading. Another study in 2016 shows that practices in teacher preparation programs in six states with large Spanish-speaking populations revealed a high degree of variation in EL teacher training across institutions. And this is what we're seeing, such a wide degree of variation, beginning with our teacher training programs, our higher ed, and then into the schools and districts and state level. There is a lack of quality training in support of teaching English language learners and learning how to best support them. And this really needs to be a whole school initiative because all teachers are working with multilingual learners. And the more that every teacher is empowered and ready, the more success the whole school is going to have. Now, if we look at the money, according to an Education Week article, the U.S. Department of Education in 2018 awarded nearly $120 million in professional development grants for improving instruction for English learners. So the money's there. We just need to be creative of how to figure out how we can use that money, tap into that money, and use it so we all at every school can become empowered in supporting English language learners. Because at the end of the day, what the research really says is that a good teacher that knows how to support their English language learners is over and over and over again going to see the success of their students. Because teaching ELLs really comes down to mindset shifts and small changes that make a big difference. So, how can we do this through the PD in our schools? Let's dive into 6 ways. The first way is to not approach PD as a one-size-fits-all approach. We know that a lot of PD time is wasted because it's not applicable to everybody sitting in that room, or there's just varying degrees of learning happening, just like our students. We have some teachers who maybe have never worked with English language learners before, and they really need the basic level of beginning that foundational language of teaching ELLs. We have others who've been working with ELLs, but they're ready for maybe some new scaffolds or maybe some time to sit together and plan those language objectives so they can get better at doing that. We have other teachers who maybe they're the ESL teacher like you, and so you're ready to go deeper. You want to talk more about this topic, and you want to have conversations that are going to help you grow with where you're at. So doing a one-size-fits-all PD, it's a waste of time, or it's not applicable to me. It doesn't take into account the varied experiences, skills, and needs of individual teachers when we approach PD as a one-size-fits-all. Because you, I know, have been there. I have myself. When you've been in a workshop where it's either too advanced, so you zone out because it's really beyond what the training you've had before, so you feel like you've already jumped in and have been missing the beginning stages of that training, or it's too basic, and so you're like, come on, let's move past this. So it really is just not helpful. And so the solution to this is really providing PD that's, it could be virtually, it could just be options where you have open rooms and somebody comes in and they share about a different topic and there's different discussions happening and people get to choose where they want to go, what they want to learn, how they want to go deeper. It could be by topic. It could be by a variety of different ways. Maybe you want to talk about supporting EL students in math and someone takes that on. Maybe there's just that basic level class of let's talk about who English language learners are. Maybe there's a group that's modifying assessments and instructions for the whole grade level. There's a lot of different ways that you can, in a short amount of time, even 1 hour, when there's choice in that for teachers to go in and really engage, that is where the learning's going to happen. That's where that time is going to be really well spent. The second thing that schools can do to make PD so much better is empowering teachers to lead. Right inside your building, you have very knowledgeable and experienced teachers that have something to share and something to offer. So why not tap into the wealth of knowledge and experience that they have? But I think something really important here that usually, in my case, would get overlooked is the compensation part. I think encouraging teachers to lead, to present, to run PDs is a really great idea. But I think they also should get paid for their time to do that. If they were going to go into any other district, they would get paid as a trainer. And so we want to compensate our teachers for the knowledge and wealth and experience that they have so that they develop and deliver PD that really can transform the experience from something mundane to really inspirational. When there is buy-in like that, they're going to really come prepared to those PD training sessions. I hear this all the time inside Equipping ELLs of teachers saying, I'm being forced to do a PD in front of the whole school. I have 30 minutes. What should I do this on? We get this question all the time. And so again, advocate for yourself. Ask if you can be compensated for that. Ask if you can, if you can't be compensated, can you have a half day plan time so you can really prepare something well that you know they need and really guide the PD based on that. When there's compensation involved, it really promotes a sense of ownership and relevance. So don't be afraid to ask. And don't be afraid to share. Do a PD. If you have information that you know is needed in your school, don't be shy. Get up there and share that with the teachers. I mean, at the end of the day, who is better to teach educators than their own peers, right? You already have a relationship built. Those are conversations that can continue after the PD is over. So that's a great way is to empower the teachers right in your school and also provide some compensation or some sort of benefit for doing that. the next thing that schools can do to make PD so much better is to evaluate the experts. And I'm putting the experts in quotes. Because what about these experts we bring in? Yes, absolutely. There are some incredibly talented people that are worth every penny. They change the environment of school. They really bring everything they have, and it is super impactful. Sometimes that external perspective can be so refreshing. They might see things that us as teachers inside the building day after day overlook. So there's a lot of times that bringing someone outside in can be really beneficial. But they also can be really costly. And so I think this is important for the schools to really take a look at, is to see what is the motive behind this expert. Is it somebody that's really just focused on selling their program over enhancing our teaching practices? Is it someone that's already has their set, here's our selling points, here's our program, you must use it as is? Or is it someone coming in and really taking a look at our students, seeing where they're at, willing to sit and observe and come up with a plan that's really specific to our school? That's the difference, I feel like, between bringing an expert in who is so knowledgeable and is so willing to make a difference in your school over somebody who's coming in and just selling what they already have in their program. I've been to PDs that do both, and it's very different, the different approaches, and one is worth the money, hands down, and the other one's not. What if we could take that money and help empower the teachers inside of our schools instead? So it's time to really critically evaluate the benefit of these sessions and ensure they bring real value to our classrooms. The next thing that I think is so important and something that schools really need to reflect on is to make that PD as practical and collaborative as possible. It's not just about sitting through a presentation. It's really about engagement, application, and collaboration. We want change to happen in these short sessions. We want teachers to walk away knowing I'm ready for my class tomorrow and I'm ready to implement a new scaffold because I just sat with other teachers and I heard how it was done and I saw how they're doing it in their lessons, and that inspired me. Over many times when I would go to PDs and it would be sitting there for an hour, having to listen, waiting for it to be done, and then leaving feeling even more stressed because I just missed out on an hour of prepping for the next day. So we really want to provide time during our PD sessions for teachers to collaborate and immediately apply what they've learned. That's just like our students. Our ELL students need an output all the time. Otherwise, they're going to forget. So we really need a hands-on approach that could lead to more dynamic and effective learning experiences. Number 5 is to flip professional development. So this might be a different idea as a school-wide initiative, but trying something like flipping PD. So what would happen here is this model involves teachers engaging with learning materials either over the summer or during the school year. So this might be an online course that's purchased for all the teachers. This might be a book club where you meet once a week. There's a lot of different ways that you can flip the PD so the teachers are learning independently on their own, and then you come back together in collaborative groups when school begins or throughout the school year. So this is really a way, and again, giving teachers choice. Maybe a small group want to go deeper on science of reading. Maybe a small group want to go deeper on best practices for ELLs. Whatever it is, give the teachers a few different choices, and now you're empowering the teachers in your school to learn, digest in the time when they have time, and then come back ready to start implementing. So there's a lot of different ways you can put parameters around this and really help these discussions. But that's a great way when you're really limited on time to flip that PD, push it onto the teachers to have some choice. Maybe you'll provide different online courses that they can choose from and take over the summer. But this is really, it could really revolutionize how we think about that PD timing and engagement. Because I know a lot of times that hour after school, you're exhausted And so it's hard to really do a lot during that time. But maybe over the summer when you can sit outside on a beautiful day and read a book that gets you thinking, gives you time to reflect and process and think about your students when you're away from them, can be much more impactful for the upcoming school year. And then the last thing to think about, and the last way the school can make PD so much better, is really respecting teachers and what they bring into your building. I know personally, some of the best PD I ever experienced was doing something as simple as having the opportunity to go in and observe an excellent teacher. It's truly a gift to see a teacher who is amazing at doing guided reading, or amazing at classroom management, or amazing at scaffolding and differentiating a whole group of fourth graders. Those are some of the biggest impacts to who I am as a teacher, were those opportunities that I had to go in and sit and observe. And when we can provide teachers that opportunity, maybe it's a half day where they get to go do that and you'll provide a sub for that. And they're going to go and observe an area that they maybe feel weak in. It's a beautiful gift as a community as well, to see each other, to see our strengths, to feel a respect for one another and the gifts that we bring into our school building. So that's another way that we can really strengthen PD without having to have more days off or more time after school. But it's as simple as giving teachers a choice to have some time where a sub is provided and you get to go in and observe another teacher or in an area that you would like to improve in. Now, as we wrap up today's episode, it's clear that professional development needs a major overhaul. And hopefully, maybe you're thinking, this is not how my school is at all. I hope that's not the case. What it really comes down to is it's not just about providing training. It's really about fostering an environment where teachers feel supported and engaged in their growth. So let's do what we can to rethink PD to make it something that every teacher looks forward to and benefits from. Now, what research has shown is that at the end of the day, the best change and support happens not from state level, not from federal level, but from right inside the leadership that's inside your school or district. This is what will provide the best support because those leaders know their teachers. And those leaders know the students in their building. And so you can really find exactly what they need and provide that type of PD support. Now, if you are looking for this kind of support, I'm super excited to share that here at Equipping ELLs, we just recently launched a brand new PD platform called Pathways to Proficiency. In it, you'll find bite-sized PD teaching that covers your most asked questions. Like, what do I do to begin teaching a newcomer? We are taking all our knowledge and adding in experience to give you something brand new and easy to implement right away. You can find out more at equippingels.com, and you can also use the code podcast to save 30%. Don't delay though, because this coupon expires soon. And what's truly amazing about this platform is you play a big role in this. We will continue to drip new questions out, like, what do I do when my students are struggling with comprehension? Or how do I progress monitor throughout the year? We will continue to be adding new content, and that new content really is based on what you need. So anyone who signs up for Pathways to Proficiency will get that exact support. We will continue to ask you and say, what are the questions that you're having? How can we support you? And we will come up with the videos and the resources to help you know exactly what to do when this question comes up. So think of it as an online PD platform that's really bite-sized and really action-packed. Again, you can find out more at equippingells.com. And this might be a great time to share this with your administrator, do some flipped PD over the summer, or at the start of next school year. Thank you for joining me in today's episode. All links and resources mentioned can be found in the show notes. If you're looking for even more support and done-for-you resources created specifically for the needs of ELLs, head to inspiringyounglearners.com. I'll catch you here next week. Until then, take that next step to keep equipping your ELLs.